Chapter 15. Amen. We have I don't think we have the next step class tonight. Is that right? Anybody interested in the next step? This is our class that we teach, going over all the basics and the foundation, just some basic principles that are very fundamental for our growth as a Christian. This is for new believers. Also, for those that are interested in being in any type of ministry here, we encourage you to sign up and be a part of this next step class. Amen. We teach about salvation, water baptism, baptism of the Holy Ghost, amen, tithing and giving, all these things that are so important. So I want to let you know that the next class for this next step will be June 6th. With Pastor Josh Collins, who's going to be taking over that ministry and teaching that ministry. I promise you, you'll love it. You'll be blessed by it. Can you say amen? Amen. John chapter 15, as you're turning there, you know, there are certain things, we've said this many times about different things, but there are certain things that will make you or break you. How many's ever heard that? This is going to make you or break you. You go through a storm, you go through a difficult time, a dark time. That thing will either make you or break you. But there is one thing that I believe is so true, and it's in this area of relationships and the person or the people that you associate with, or you call them friend, or you have a relationship with that person. I want you to know that that thing can either make you or break you. This isn't something we just... You know, it's just a relationship, or, you know, it's just somebody I know, I've been hanging around. There's something very serious in this when we have a relationship with somebody. And I want to talk about tonight the value of relationships. I can stand up here and look out across this congregation on this Wednesday night. Amen. These are some good people. Praise God. Come out on a Wednesday night. We've got a good crowd here tonight. You guys are faithful. You're here because you want to be here, and we appreciate that. And I can look out, and I've seen a lot of you go through some very difficult times. A lot of you know that I've been through some very dark times, and I can look out and say, you know what? You prayed for me. Different ones. You put your arm around me. You gave me a word of encouragement, and I can say that you're my friend. I can also look out and probably pick out a few enemies that I think probably don't have my best interest at heart tonight. But what I believe is that God wants us to develop and to build relationships that will help us. Can you say amen? The value of relationships. Let's look what Jesus says in John chapter 15, starting in verse 12. It says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends." That's a lot of love right there. To lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends. If you do what I command you, no longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. One of the things that I think is going to be so beneficial from these small groups is the fact that we get to come together, and I get to be with guys. Amen. I facilitate, if we want to put it that way, one of the small groups that meets every week. And I've got guys that are signed up in my group that I know, but I don't know like I want to know. And as we move into these small groups, we're going to get to know each other. Amen. And there's going to be things that I don't like about you, and there's going to be things that you don't like about me. Amen. Because the reason is we come from all different backgrounds. We all have different hang-ups. We all have different personalities. But as we come into this group together, we're going to grow together, and our relationship is going to move forward. And I think that's going to strengthen those 10 guys that are in that group. And as we move into this small group thing with the church, we're going to see a great change. We've heard Pastor Jones say many times that relationship is the glue that holds churches together. God's going to begin to build relationships, amen. There's going to be something powerful that goes along with that. Tonight I want to talk about three types of relationships and the effects of these relationships. First one, just bear with me tonight if you're taking notes, is the Wilson relationship. Amen. The Wilson relationship. We have to be very careful that we don't become best friends with Wilson. I don't think there's anybody in here named Wilson. If there is, I apologize. But how many has ever seen the movie Castaway? I know there's a few that maybe you haven't seen it, so let me just kind of give you a synopsis of what Castaway is about with Tom Hanks. Excellent, excellent movie. Amen. There's the star, and then there's the co-star. The star is Tom Hanks, and the co-star is Wilson. And so basically the story goes that this guy, Chuck Nolan, he's a FedEx employee. He travels around the world and for his business, and he's flying over the Pacific Ocean, and they come into this violent storm, and the plane goes down. It crashes into the ocean, and it turns out that he's the only survivor of this crash, and he washes up on this shore. And when he wakes up, he goes around, he realizes, oh my gosh, you know, what's happened, blah, 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 et cetera, et cetera. And he realizes that there's nobody else on this island, and he has to survive. And so these FedEx packages, they wash up on the shore. He starts going through the FedEx packages to find out what he can use to survive. And he comes across this volleyball, and it's a Wilson volleyball. Amen. And then he's trying to make fire. That's one of my favorite scenes, when he's trying to make the fire, and he's getting frustrated. And before you know it, he injures his hand. He's got blood on his hand. And the first thing that he can grab that's closest to him is that volleyball, that Wilson volleyball, and he grabs it, and he gets blood on it, and he throws it, and then he's looking over at it, and that volleyball's looking back, and he goes over, and he paints a face on it, and Wilson is born, and he's born to keep that man alive some way, somehow, and Wilson becomes his friend, and for 4 years, he's isolated on this island, and he has to survive, and the only relationship he has is with this volleyball named Wilson. Amen. Talks to Wilson, he argues with Wilson, he absolutely adores Wilson, and as you're watching this movie, as it progresses, you start to love Wilson also. Am I right? Amen. And then you get to the scene at the end when he's about to be rescued, he's trying to be rescued, he's made this raft, and he's got Wilson, and Wilson is going back and forth, and Tom Hanks is dehydrated on this raft, and in and out of consciousness, and he wakes up, and Wilson is no longer there. And he yells out, Wilson! You know, Wilson! And he looks, and there's Wilson bobbing in the waves. And he, no, Wilson! And he jumps into the water, and he's trying to save Wilson. And I'm telling you what, I'm holding back the tears. Amen. By that time, you love Wilson just as much as Tom Hanks does. Amen? And that's it, Wilson. He can't save Wilson, and he's heartbroken, and I'm heartbroken, and it's the saddest thing in the world. Amen. But what is this Wilson relationship, this that I'm talking about tonight? Really, what it is, if you'll bear with me tonight, is it's a disconnected relationship. Here he is. He's on this island, and he has nobody around. And here I see a picture of a lot of Christians, amen, that are disconnected. And they're the sole survivor, they're the lone ranger, if you will, and they have this independent mentality. You know, I don't need anybody else, I can take care of things, and that's just not my personality, and that kind of thing. And really, to be honest with you tonight, I believe this affects men more than it does women. Men aren't prone to open up, whereas women, many times they will, and they begin to, they have a lot of friendships like that. And here's the thing tonight, is it doesn't matter. It doesn't mean that you're a hermit or you're this person like this guy down at the end of the block. He doesn't talk to anybody. He just kind of keeps to himself. That's not what the Wilson relationship is. It's not that type of person. But the Wilson relationship is really the person that's married, that's a husband, or that's a wife. Or they got kids. They got coworkers. They mingle with us tonight. Amen. They have their life, and life is busy, but they're not willing to give themselves over to a deep relationship. And so what happens is, out of that, when they don't develop good, healthy, godly relationships, they find a Wilson. Sometimes that Wilson is their career. They're married to that career. They don't have any relationships. I mean, they have, of course, they have the relationships that are within that circle or that arena that they live in. But outside of that arena, hey, they don't need friends. They don't need friends. They don't need a small group. They don't need people. Amen. This is my life. I go to work. But what happens is they become married to Wilson. Wilson could be a hobby. Wilson could be, should I say it? It could be a car. Amen. They love that car. Wilson could be social media. Amen. Their Facebook says they got thousands of friends, but we know behind that social media, they don't have anything. Amen. They're like Tom Hanks, isolated on an island. What you need to understand tonight is God didn't create us like that. God built into our very DNA to have relationship. And here we just read about it in John chapter 15. God intended for us to have relationship, number one, with him, and to have relationship with each other. So we have to be careful that we don't become friends with Wilson. Wilson! Amen. Second, tonight, I want to talk about another type of relationship, and I think this one's very important. We need to pay attention to this tonight. It's found in 2 Samuel chapter 13, and it's the story of this man named Amnon. Some of you have heard of this story. Amnon was the son of King David. He was basically royalty. He was born into this family, and because of who his father is, certainly he must have had a knowledge of the word of God. He was given the law. He knew the law. He knew right from wrong. He had examples from the past and from his father. And so he gets caught up in this situation where probably, had he not had a friend, he could have had some type of restraint. Because as we read this, we see that he was vexed in his soul. He was dealing with this thing, and because of who he was and where he was at, probably had he not had a friend, he might have been able to say no to that situation. But let's read it and see what it says. 2 Samuel chapter 13, verse 1, it says, "Now Absalom, David's son, had a beautiful sister whose name was Tamar. And after a time, Amnon, David's son, loved her. And Amnon was so tormented that he made himself ill because of his sister," or he was vexed. He was convicted about these feelings that he had for this half-sister of his, Tamar. It says she was a virgin, and it seemed impossible to Amnon to do anything to her. Verse 3, pay attention here. "But Amnon had a friend." Everybody say it tonight. Amnon had a friend. Say it one more time. Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimea, David's brother. And Jonadab was a very crafty man. He was a very manipulative man. There's all kinds of words that would fit that description that comes out of that word crafty. He was manipulative. He had this evil intent in him. Verse 4, and it says, "And he said to him, O son of the king, why are you so haggard morning after morning? Will you not tell me? Amnon said to him, I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister. Jonadab said to him, lie down on your bed and pretend to be ill. And when you're ill or sick, and when your father comes to see you, say to him, let my sister Tamar come and give me bread to eat and prepare the food in my sight that I may see it and eat it from her hand." So basically what he's doing is he's beginning to tell him exactly what he wants to hear. And he considers himself a friend of Amnon. And he begins to plot, and he begins to strategize and to say, you know what, hey, why don't you just take her? Why don't you do this and do that? And the end of the story is that he violates his half-sister. And out of that, all of a sudden, there's all this turmoil. His destiny's destroyed. Her destiny's destroyed. There's hatred in the family. There's division. And ultimately, Absalom has so much hate for him that he tracks him down and he kills him. And it all goes back to verse 3 where it says Amnon had a friend. So second tonight, there's the Amnon relationship. We've heard pastors say it. You've heard it said many times. Tell me who your friends are and I'll tell you your future. Let that one sink in for a minute. Oh, no. You got to understand that was then, that was their past, and now they're, okay, tell me who your friends are, and I'll tell you your future. Proverbs 13:20 says, he that walks with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools will be destroyed. You ask any drug addict with needle marks up and down their arm, heroin addict, meth addict, whatever they are, and they're hooked on drugs, and you ask them this one simple question, how did you become a drug addict? 9 times out of 10, they'll say, oh, back in high school, I had this friend. You ask an alcoholic, you ask a sexual predator, you ask somebody, at some point there was somebody that tried to befriend them, and they were crafty and manipulative and really diabolical and demonic, and they didn't recognize, or they wouldn't admit that, no, this is just my friend, or this was, and they didn't see that there was really an intent behind that to destroy them. And Amnon had a friend. Now check this out. Let me just give you another heavy revelation, because this Jonadab, when we think about the friend that's in high school or the worldly person that's, you know, trying to influence us to go to a party or to do this. But here's the thing you got to know is there are Jonadabs right here in the church. Right here in the church. And we can give you so many different scenarios where there was a wolf in sheep's clothing, and because of the manipulative, diabolical nature that was moving through them, they caused somebody else to stumble and to fall. And sometimes it's simply religion. Sometimes it's simply some doctrine that somebody picked up on a podcast or watching on TV, or they heard something or read something in a book, and they come along and they say, oh, no, let me tell you something. I know you have that thing, and I know you're struggling with that thing, and that temptation, it comes on you, but Jesus loves you. He doesn't care. Don't worry about that sin. That's who you are. Jesus paid for it at the cross, and they bring in this totally false doctrine that's totally contrary to what the Bible says. Sin will send you to hell. Amen. I understand grace and the love of God. I preach that all day long, the mercy of God, the grace of God. But there's no such thing as being comfortable in your sin and your identity and who you are, the identity that the world put on you, I should say. Amen. Then to have somebody come along and say, you know what, it's okay, you can be like that. Hogwash. You're a Jonadab. That's a Jonadab spirit, and Amnon had a friend. And that's the Amnon relationship. So what do we do? Amen. Recognize it. Amen. For who it is, for who they are. And I'll tell you what you do. Drop them like a hot rock. If it's a boyfriend, amen. Woo. But Pastor, he's so good looking. Oh, my goodness, we've been together for 5 years. You don't understand common law marriage, you know, with this and that. He shows no signs of getting saved. Drop him like a hot rock. Amen, before he drags you back into the lifestyle you thankfully, thank God, came out of. I don't know, maybe that's for somebody here tonight. I don't know. Make new friends. Amen. Third tonight, and I finish with this. What we need is the model of a healthy, godly relationship, and this is modeled by none other than Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We read this in John chapter 15 as he's talking to his disciples, and we see out of this the love that he has for the men that he's gathered around him, those that he discipled. And if you ever wanted an example of a small group, here we have the first small group in the New Testament. And we cap ours at 10. He capped his at 12. Praise God. And he goes and he chooses these guys, and they're misfits, man. They're this motley crew of misfits. They got the sons of thunder, and they got Peter, you know, that denies him in his last hour. And they even have Judas. Amen. You don't get to pick and choose who's in your small group. Amen. You just got to pray. Amen. Yeah. Help us, Jesus, to grow together. Help us in this small group. Amen. And I'm sure Jesus is looking at these guys thinking, maybe I shouldn't have picked him. Amen. But, you know, he knew who Judas was, and he still invested in his life. And I will add, yes, Jesus was a sin, a friend of sinners. He was a friend of sinners, but amen. He influenced them and didn't allow their corrupt behavior to influence him. If he'll take a whip out and go through the temple like he did, don't you think he's going to put a stop to some idiot that's not willing to change, amen, because he's a sinner? I just know that I know what somebody's thinking right now. So he brings these guys together. They got, as I said, their personalities, their hang-ups. And then in verse 14, he looks at his disciple and he says, "You guys are my friends. You're my friends." Think about that. He takes these guys, and as they begin to build on their relationship, and he begins to point out things, I'm sure that he was gleaning and getting things from them. God was doing something. This is not a one-way relationship. As we go into these small groups, amen, we need it just as much as you do. Amen, I need friends. Amen, I need you, you need me, we need each other, and we're going to make it happen. Can you say amen? He takes these imperfect people. Here we have a template of a small group, and I can just imagine, you know, we always see Jesus giving the parables and giving these heavy revelations, and you know, we've only got so much of the Bible. They spent 3.5 years ago. You can't put all that in the Bible, but no doubt there, you know, God has a sense of humor. Come on. And I'm not going to make any jokes here tonight, amen, but I can only imagine if there are people just like we are, the fun that they had. As they're out fishing, as they're out making their way, amen, through the towns, and they laughed together. They cried together. They had families. They had prayer requests. They had things that were weighing on their heart. They had emotions just like you and I do today. When one was down and depressed and going through a difficult moment, the other could reach and come alongside and put their arm around him. Hey, we're going to make it. And Jesus could see that. He takes these 12 people. They had each other's back. They prayed for each other. And iron sharpens iron. And they made each other stronger. And we read about their story going all the way up into the book of Acts as they begin to write history. They valued their friendship. That's what I'm talking about tonight. We ought to value not just going to church to have another service. Amen. Not just to come in here and to perform our duties, if you will, in ministry. Ministry can be very hard work, but sometimes we get in that mode where it's ministry, ministry, ministry. And we gotta have a different perspective that, you know what? I'm not just doing ministry, but I'm building something here. I want to be a part of this thrust and the vision that God has for this church, and I want to see relationships built. It's something powerful, and we ought to understand the importance and value relationships tonight. Amen. So I just want to leave you with this tonight. I want to encourage you, man, because I can relate with Tom Hanks. Amen. I don't mind. I told somebody this the other day. I don't mind going fishing up in the mountains by myself. And when I was a teenager and I was old enough to, I'd take off for the mountains 2 or 3 days with my dog and not be lonely one single bit. Amen. Go fishing and camping and be up there, because that was the type of person that I was. And that grew on me as a person that, you know what, that's okay. Listen, I'll be a husband. I'll be a brother. I'll be a friend when I need to be a friend. But I'm fine with that. But God wants to stretch us and draw us out of our comfort zone, because I'm realizing that I need to be a blessing to somebody else. I need to help somebody else. Amen. I need to give somebody else. I need to be a Barnabas for somebody. Somebody that needs a word of encouragement. So I want to challenge you. Let Wilson go. Amen. I can see Wilson with that handprint. He's got that hair, that mohawk, you know. Some of y'all know what I'm talking. You can Google it later. Wilson, castaway, Wilson. You'll see a picture of the volleyball. You just need to let him bob away. Just let him float away. Because that ship's coming and it's going to rescue you. Amen. You don't have to live isolated and on an island and be this sole survivor. Amen. It might take some time for you to reintegrate yourself into society. Amen. But stretch yourself. Say, you know what, I'm going to be a part of a small group. I'm not quite there. I don't want people knowing my business. I don't want people knowing, you know, I got these things that I'm trying. That's okay. We don't want to know it, to be honest with you. And when you're ready to share something, that's when you can tell us in confidence, because we're your friend and we've built this relationship, and we'll pray with you about that thing, and we'll lift you up, and we'll see you make it through that, and we'll let you know that on the other side of that storm, the sun's going to come out. And because you had a group of friends that was right there with you, amen, it happened. That storm didn't take you down. Let Wilson go, amen. Then I also believe tonight that there are some that need to make a decision about relationships that aren't healthy for you. They're not healthy. And really, I believe the Holy Spirit does a great job of convicting us. We can try and drown out the voice of the Holy Ghost, but we know in our knower, amen, the Holy Spirit begins to say, hey, you know what? What he just said to you, or what she said to you, or the direction that you're going with that person, uh-uh. Amnon had a friend. Watch out. And God's speaking to people tonight. We ought to, amen, doesn't mean we got to be nasty and mean to that person, but sometimes we have to distance ourselves from certain people. Then, of course, tonight, I want to challenge you to stretch yourself and build godly relationships. I encourage you. This isn't just a little program that we're doing with the small groups. I see the value of it. Amen. To grow the knowledge that we're going to gain just from studying the Word of God together, then the relationships that are built out of that. It's something that's very special that I believe that God's going to do for this church. Can you say amen? Be a part, not just in small groups. You know what? Fellowship with people. We talk about fellowship and going out after church and so many different ways and different areas that we can be a brother, not just an acquaintance at church, but a brother or a sister to somebody in the church. Amen? Amen. Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed in this place just for a few minutes tonight. We'll be dismissed here. But I believe the Holy Spirit is dealing with us. He wants to help us, and God's going to help this church. And as our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed tonight, the most important thing that we need to know is that God wants to be your friend. And that's hard to understand, because a lot of us have failed friendships. We've burned a lot of bridges. We've hurt a lot of people. Hey, we've been backstabbed ourselves. And when you've been stabbed by somebody, there's a trust issue there. And so we build these walls. You know, we will only have friends to a certain extent. And I believe God wants to help us in that area. God wants to help you tonight. God wants to be your friend. God wants you to know him as not just this far off God or this religion, but to know him as your personal Savior, just like these disciples knew him. God hasn't changed. God's still choosing people and calling people and drawing people. That's the thing I love about God, is he's no respecter of persons. Whether you've got tattoos and you come out of a lifestyle of drugs and alcohol and rejection, and or you come from high class education, but you don't have God, he loves you just the same. Just as much as he loved those disciples, he loves you tonight. He wants to know you. How many all over this place would say, you know what, I'm not saved. I got sin in my life. But I want to know Jesus Christ. I want to be forgiven of my sin. If that's you, quickly put your hand up. Put it right back down. How many honest hearts would say, that's me. God bless you. I need Jesus. I need to be saved. I need to be forgiven. I need to be renewed. I've fallen. I've stumbled. I've made some mistakes. But tonight, I want to get back up. Quickly, raise your hand. Put it right back down. You need prayer tonight. You want to rededicate your life. God bless you. Rededicate your life to Jesus. God bless you. Thank you. Honest hearts. Honest people tonight. We're real people. Amen. I don't know where you came from, but I want you to know you came into a good church tonight. We love people. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet in this place tonight. You raised your hand tonight.